With me to John chapter 5,
verse 31. John chapter 5, beginning in verse 31. I want to read through the end of chapter 5. John chapter 5, beginning in verse 31. Jesus is speaking to the Jewish leadership, and he says these words as he continues his discussion or his monologue with them. If I testify about myself, my testimony is not valid. There is another who testifies in my favor, and I know that his testimony about me is valid. You have sent to John, and he has testified to the truth. Not that I accept human testimony, but I mention it that you may be saved. John was a lamp that burned and gave light, and you chose for a time to enjoy his light. I have testimony weightier than that of John, for the very work that the Father has given me to finish, and which I am doing, testifies that the Father has sent me, and the Father who sent me has himself testified concerning me. You have never heard his voice, nor seen his form, nor does his word dwell in you, for you do not believe the one he sent. You diligently study the scriptures because you think that by them you possess eternal life. These are the scriptures that testify about me. Yet you refuse to come to me to have life. I do not accept praise from men, but I know you. I know that you do not have the love of God in your hearts. I have come in my Father's name, and you do not accept me. But if someone else comes in his own name, you will accept him. How can you believe it? How can you believe if you accept praise from one another, yet make no effort to obtain the praise that comes from the only God? But do not think I will accuse you before the Father. Your accuser is Moses, on whom your hopes are set. If you believed Moses, you would believe me, for he wrote about me. But since you do not believe what he wrote, how are you going to believe what I say? Will you pray with me? Father, before us is truth. By nature, we would run from the truth. Lord Jesus, continue that work in our lives that by your Spirit you began, and cause us not to run from, but to the truth. And it is my prayer that the truth of your word would penetrate our hearts and lives today. We need to hear from you. So speak to us through your word, we pray, by your Spirit, in Jesus' name. Amen. I want you to go home today after the service, and tonight at exactly 24 minutes after the 24th hour of the day, I want you to flush every toilet in your home simultaneously. You may need a neighbor's help. And if you do this, and at the very same time turn on the faucet in the master bath, it will pour forth liquid gold. Why are you laughing? Of course that sounds absurd to you, doesn't it? I want to know next week who tried it. Do you understand that what I just said to you makes about as much sense as what Jesus was saying to this religious leadership of the day? He was an affront to them. And what he said to them made no sense whatsoever. To do the things that he did not fit their paradigm. To say the things of himself that he said simply didn't fit their manual. You understand that in chapter 5, he healed a man who was lame. And they didn't understand that. So they had to deal with what they did understand, and in their understanding, it was wrong to do that on the Sabbath. And so rather than coming around this man who had been healed and rejoice with him and try to understand what sort of man had the power to heal you from being lame for 38 years, they attacked this idea that he did it on the Sabbath. And when they confronted Jesus with such truth, Jesus said to them, in essence, I am God. That's what he said to them. Which is about as much like me saying to you, go flush all of your toilets tonight at 24 minutes past the 24th hour. Did you catch that? For 24 karat gold. And then turn on the master bath faucet and out pours liquid gold. And so Jesus begins to explain to them the authority that he's been given by his Father. And the authority that he was given was the authority to grant life and to bring condemnation. That's what he says in the first part of the monologue. And so the question then might arise, who in the world are you to tell us such things as that? And so what's about to happen in these next verses is Jesus is about to tell them who he is, and he's about to validate his authority to say and do what he says and does. Jesus is authentic. I like to say it like this. He's for real. How do you know? That's what Jesus is about to tell them. If I testify about myself, my testimony is not valid. What he's saying is, in your context, you wouldn't accept me as valid if I simply told you, I told you these things, and what makes it valid is that I'm telling you. You wouldn't accept it as such. So let me give you some other validation. First of all, we know that Jesus is for real because God has given the witness of John the Baptist. Go back to chapter 1. In fact, in chapter 5, he tells them, you sent to John. When John the Baptist was doing what he was doing, they sent a group over to find out who in the world this guy is. Why are you doing these things, John? Who are you? What gives you the authority to do the things that you're doing, this baptism that you're doing? In verse 19 of John chapter 1, he says this. Now this was John's testimony when the Jews of Jerusalem sent priests and Levites to ask him who he was. He did not fail to confess, but confessed freely, I am not the Christ. And then if you scan down verse 29, he talks to them in the intermittent verses, and in verse 29, the next day John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. John doesn't pull any punches. And so they accepted John. In fact, I think they were afraid because of the mass following that John had. They were afraid to oppose him. And Jesus said, God sent John, and John bears witness of who I am. Do you think John just kind of came up with this stuff on his own? He's the light of the world. He's the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. I'm not the Christ. He is. And repeatedly he gives testimony to who Christ is. And that's what Jesus is saying. You know I'm for real because of, first of all, first testimony. And you understand in Jewish law, they expected three testimonies before they would really validate your authority. And so first of all, they said, okay, Jesus is telling them, John the Baptist, sent by the Father, and he bears testimony, he bears witness. So the first reason we know that Jesus is authentic or real is because of the witness of John the Baptist. The second reason that you know Jesus is for real is because of the works of Jesus, the witness of John and the works of Jesus. Look at what he says. I have a testimony weightier, verse 36, weightier than that of John, for the very work that the Father has given me to finish and which I am doing testifies that the Father has sent me. Jesus has said to them, I only do what my Father is doing. I only do what he tells me to do. I'm all about what my daddy says do. And that's why they got all upset, because he was calling himself equal with God, one with the Father. So what has he done? We'll go back to John chapter 1 once again. And you'll see John introduces him, and then you'll see Jesus calling his disciples. And you'll see in John chapter 1, the second half of that chapter, that he calls his disciples. And when you get to Nathanael, Jesus already knew. He knew about Nathanael, and Nathanael was blown away. And Jesus says, you'll see greater things than this. In chapter 2, Jesus changed water to wine at a wedding. In chapter 3, he goes into the temple and he tears up the temple because of what the people were doing there. And then he meets with Nicodemus in chapter 3 and he says some pretty potent things like you must be born again. He talks with a Samaritan woman and she's converted, which as we've discovered is very radical in John chapter 4. And then a number of people from the town of Sychar come to know Christ because of God's work through Christ in the life of this Samaritan woman. And then in chapter 4 at the end, he heals the official's son without even going to his home. And then he heals in chapter 5 this man who was lame at the pool of Bethesda. Know that Jesus is real because of what he does, the works that he accomplishes. But I want you to understand something about all of those works. If you missed the class in ABF on Revelation, man, you need to jump in there. Because Dad rightly portrayed that it's all about the end. Besides, I've trained him well as a teacher. The death and resurrection of Christ is what it's all about. And what Jesus is doing in John chapter 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and the whole rest of John is putting on display what he came to this earth to do, and that was to finish his Father's business. Do you know what his Father sent him on earth to do? To live a perfectly righteous life. And to go to the cross on our behalf and die for our sin so that he has the transaction available through faith to those who would believe that at that cross I bring to him all of my dung, all of my sin, all of my guilt, and I lay it on him. What have you done wrong? How have you been disobedient? How have you failed him? He bids us at the cross to bring all of that to him. And because of his perfectly righteous life, he takes my sin and removes the guilt, forgives me as far as the east is from the west. So far as he removed my sin from me and replaced it with his righteousness. That's the work of Christ. And everything that he does leads to that cross. And to the empty tomb. Only Jesus could do that. And so he says, first of all, if I gave witness to myself, you guys wouldn't buy it anyway. So let me give you some validation. I don't need it. But for your salvation, I validate my authority. And the first is the witness of John, and the second are the works that my Father has given me to do. And the third, you know that Jesus is real because the Word of God. God's Word is about Jesus. Do you know that? Some of you know that the red letters are about him. And some of you know that the Gospels are about him. And some of you know that at least the New Testament, because it writes with reference back to Christ. But did you know that all of the Old Testament is telling the redemptive story leading to the coming of Christ? And the Gospels introduce you to the Christ who came. And the epistles tell you what it means to believe in him and live as a Christian. And then Revelation, in case you missed Sunday school hour, will tell you the consummation of already everything that has been told to you and me in the Old and New Testaments. I told you, and I'm telling you again. That's what the Word of God is about. That's what he says. He says to these religious leaders, and don't think for a minute that they weren't faithful to the God they believed in and to the truth of the Word of God. They were misled. And Jesus makes some pretty radical statements in this monologue to those Jewish leaders. He says, you guys, you've never heard him. You've never seen his form. Hold on a minute, John. We've been studying his word for years. Where do you get off? You don't hear him. You don't see him. You don't even know what the scriptures say about him because you don't believe the one that he sent. I am he. In essence, is what Jesus says. Verse 39, you diligently study the scriptures because you think that by them you possess eternal life. See, they came from a whole different philosophy. They came from this idea that they could earn their salvation. They had heretical theology. They thought if we study the scriptures and keep the law of God, which they thought they did and they didn't, they could earn their way to heaven. And in one sense, they were right. You study the scriptures because in the scriptures there is eternal life, but it's not what you're thinking. What Jesus says is, these are the scriptures that testify about me. The word of God is about Jesus. 2 Peter 1:21 says, for prophecy never had its origin in the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. He goes on to say at the end of chapter 5 that even Moses, who will be your accuser because he delivered the law, not for the reason you think he delivered it, but because you've missed the Christ that the Father sent, Moses will be your accuser because he gave the law. And you think that in keeping of the law, you will be saved. And what I am telling you is what Jesus says, is you won't be saved because you aren't perfect. And you can't keep it perfectly. And so by that law that you're attempting to keep, you will be condemned. Anybody want to get in that line? I can be good enough to make it to heaven. I can do enough good things to outweigh the bad. Well, you better get in line behind the religious leaders of the day that Jesus is talking to because they were pretty pious. And Jesus says, Moses isn't going to save you guys. He will accuse you. Do you understand that's the purpose of God's law, is to accuse you and me, to expose us as failures? Isn't that wonderful? But let me tell you something. If you didn't know you were a failure in God's eyes, would you ever turn to Christ? Would you ever look to him for salvation? Or would you just go about your merry way thinking everything's going to be fine in the end because I'm a pretty good guy? No, you're not. Look at the Ten Commandments. Look at the moral code and character of God, and you will discover you're not a pretty good guy or girl. You're in desperate need. And the Word of God talks about Jesus. Even Moses in Genesis 3:15, when he recorded the fall of mankind and what was to come, spoke of the coming of Christ. Repeatedly throughout the Pentateuch, Moses told of Christ and his coming. That's what Jesus said. Even Moses, you guys think it's all about the law. That law is to drive you to me. And here I stand, and you don't even believe that the Father sent me. And it's these very things, the witness of John, the works of Jesus, and the Word of God, they all come together right here in human flesh, and I stand before you, validated. Not because I need it, but because you need it. Martin Luther is one who saw the truth clearly about the Word of God pointing at Jesus. In a sermon on this text preached only months before his death, he argued, here Christ would indicate the principal reason why the Scripture was given by God. Men are to study and search in it and to learn that he, Mary's son, is the one who is able to give eternal life to all who come to him and believe on him. Now, you've got the validation of the authority of Christ. What are you going to do with it? See, I was there on Monday and I was wrestling and I said, okay, God, and I confess to you, here it is, God. This is the text. This is what it's saying. It's validating the authority of Jesus. And on Monday I said, okay, God, what does that look like for Faith Church? Why do they need to know that? What is it? Where are they? Why do they need to understand and validate the authority of Christ? Here's what happened on Monday night. Wish you could all be there. In a room full of elders, we worked through session meeting material, and at the end we began to work through the shepherding needs of the body of Faith Church. And I wish that you could have been there and watched as those elders dropped to their knees and spent quality and quantity time before our God, pouring out our hearts to the living God on your behalf. And God, you know that they're struggling in this way, and God, you know the needs of this family, and God, you know, and we don't know all the needs, but God certainly does, and we began to pour our hearts out to Him for the body at Faith Church. And it hit me like a baseball bat. The authority of the living Christ? How does that fit with the body at Faith Church? Because the family that's dealing with this in their family needs to know that Jesus has the authority of the living God. And the individual that's struggling in this way needs to validate in his thinking that Christ is who he said he was. And suddenly it came alive to me that we need to validate in our thinking and in our hearts that Jesus is who he said he was and has authority to do all that he said he did. So what difference does it make that Jesus is authentic, that he's for real? Let me give you these applications, and there are probably plenty more. First of all, believe. Now see, if I could validate for a moment and call up some testimonies, let's say I call on Raymond Glover and I say, Raymond, tell them about how you went home last night and on the 24th minute past the 24th hour, you flushed all your toilets, turned on the bathroom sink, and gold, liquid gold came out. You'd go, wonder what he paid him. But if I began to do more testimonies, and then maybe if I took you to my house at 24 hours, don't you show up at my house 24 minutes after midnight tonight. But if I did that and you stood there and I said, okay, turn on the faucet, and you turned it on and liquid gold came out, would you begin to believe? You'd think it was a hoax. You'd be looking under the sink. You wouldn't believe it was real gold. I want you to believe. I don't want you to just believe about Jesus. Yeah, sure, Carl. He's who he said he was. No. I want you to believe in him. That's a personal commitment. That's a relationship. That's not facts. You need to know facts about him. But I want you to put your roots in him. I want you to trust him. If you don't know him as Savior, you need to admit your sin to him, and you need to turn from it, and you need to put your trust in the living Christ. I hope we haven't become numb to that in our culture. You need to take him at his word. Have we safely neutered Jesus' teaching? Or have we taken him at his word? Have we said things like, well, that's not what it really means? For some of us who hold dearly to the inerrancy of Scripture, what has happened in that context, in that world, is we have, in a curious, crafty sort of way, interpreted it differently. Note that sometimes when we interpret something differently, how conveniently we interpret it. take him at his word, believe that he is who he said he is. That's the first application. Believe. Second, bear witness. Now, let's suppose you go home tonight, 24 minutes after midnight, you flush all the toilets and you turn on the master bathroom sink. I can hear it now. Our preacher preached on flushing all the toilets and turning on the master. That's not what I'm preaching on. But let's suppose you do that. Liquid gold comes out of your master bedroom or bath faucet. You gonna tell anybody? Dude, try this. My pastor's out of his mind. I couldn't believe it myself, but I did this. 24 minutes after midnight, I turn on, after I flush, it happened. You would tell somebody sooner or later. Now, some of you I know, you're just like a little concerned about what somebody's going to think about you, so you wouldn't say. But if somebody came to you and said, I tried, gold came out, you'd go, me too. I'll bet you'd tell somebody. I'll bet you'd call a friend or a family member and go, try this. I know you're going to think I've been smoking something, but I haven't. This is what happened. For real. You guys, I got something better than liquid gold. I got the one who walks on gold. Why are we so quiet about him? You know what I'm glad to tell you? We're not. I've heard three different reports this week of you sharing Christ with somebody who came to know Christ while you led them to Christ. You're not being quiet because you got something better than liquid gold. And if Jesus is who he says he is, he means what he says he says. He is who he said he was. He did what he said he did. Don't be quiet about it. Don't be intimidated by the culture out there. They might laugh at you for pouring liquid gold from your master bath faucet. But you're getting the liquid gold. You've got the living Christ. And you're right. There's some people who are going to go, it's a crutch for weenies who don't know how to do it themselves. And you guys, you just can't live life on your own. And you know what? You're going to get some of that if you share Christ. And you're going to hear some people say, you know, I don't believe all that mess. I saw somebody on television once upon a time. He preached and I see what he did. I don't believe all that. I prayed once, didn't work. But you're also going to get some people who are going to bend the knee to Christ and you will spend eternity with them. So not only believe, but bear witness. Tell somebody. Thirdly, be real. Live like Jesus is real. It's so easy in our culture to be so wrapped up in the busyness of the day that we don't have time to think about Christ. That should not be. If he's who he said he was, if these witnesses, works and words of God, testify to the validity of Christ, then we need to live like he's alive, like he really did die for my sin. So then why are you wallowing in sin if that's where you are? Why are you continuing to carry the backpack of guilt when it's not yours to carry? Talk to him. It's good to set aside time to pray and be with Christ. I hope you do that. But I hope that's not the only time you talk to him. And I hope the other times aren't the only times when you're about to be in an accident and you pray that God will get you out of it. I hope you talk to him all day long. You don't even have to dial a number. It's even safe to do driving down the highway. Don't close your eyes, but you can talk to him.
He's alive, you know. Stand firm in him. Why do we pretend there's no spiritual battle sometimes? Why do we pretend that we can handle the spiritual battle at hand? Why shouldn't we stand firm in Christ? Ephesians 6:10. Stop trying to handle the stuff alone. You need to know that the authoritative God in human flesh is valid. And he promises in Hebrews 13:5 that he will never leave you nor forsake you. So if you're not conscious of his presence, it's not because he's gone. It's because your consciousness needs a wake-up call. 1 Thessalonians 4:13 tells us about those who have died in Christ. We have hope. It's not goodbye. It's see you later. In 1 Corinthians 15, he says, if Christ hasn't been raised, then my preaching is in vain, or our preaching is in vain. Your faith also is in vain. You're still in your sin. You're not forgiven. I'm here to tell you that the preaching of the Word of God isn't dependent per se on me. It's not in vain because Christ is who he said he is. And so the preaching of the Word of God is what he chooses to use to communicate the truth of his word to his people. It's not in vain, but it's worthwhile. It's useful. And our faith is not in vain. And we are not still in our sin. We have been forgiven. Enough is a song written by Chris Tomlin and Louis, don't know if I'll say his last name right, Giglio. These are some of the words from that song. All of you is more than enough for all of me. For every thirst and every need, you satisfy me with your love. And all I have in you is more than enough. You are my supply, my breath of life, still more awesome than I know. You are my reward, my worth living for, still more awesome than I know. You're my sacrifice of greatest price, still more awesome than I know. You're my coming king. You're everything. Still more awesome than I know. All of you is more than enough for all of me. For every thirst and every need, you satisfy me with your love, and all I have in you is more than enough. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you are indeed more than enough. Forgive us when we have looked elsewhere for our enough. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for validating for us your authority, that you are who you said you are, that you did what you said you did, and that you will do what you said you will do. Lord Jesus, would you help us to believe, not just with the head, but with the heart, so that it affects our behavior. Teach us how to be witnesses, not beating people up with the Word of God, but living before them and proclaiming to them the truth of who Jesus is, not backing down, but courageously moving forward. Lord, we have a team shortly headed to Biloxi. They need to know that you are more than enough. Lord, there are families, all of our sheep, so to speak, at Faith Church who struggle, either have, are, or will, in walking the Christian faith. You're more than enough. And we need to see once again your authority. We need to understand what it means to be real and to live like you are real. Thank you, Jesus, for being God. In Jesus' name, amen.